You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Proverbs 15. What a mystery this morning. Something's been stirring in me. I'm going to start a series this morning, a new series, on confession. On the words of your mouth, what you say. You know, I realize there are extremes in both camps. There are those that just don't believe it matters what you say. Then there's those that, I mean, they did everything you say, they go too far, you know. I know we're accused many times of blab it and grab it and name it and claim it. But I can tell you right now, honestly, in all honesty, with according to the Scripture, if you don't blab it, you won't grab it. And if you don't name it, you won't claim it. And so, you know, they call us name it and claim it because we claim Jesus and we name Jesus and we confess Jesus. But I'm telling you, if you don't confess Jesus, you're not saved. We entered into this whole thing called Christianity by confession. And Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So there alone, we can't deny that confession is a great part of Christianity. It is the great confession.
Yes.
Amen.
Words do mean something. Faith does mean something. And if you're just talking about going under all the time and talking about how miserable your life is and how unfair your life is and nobody knows the trouble you see and whoo, why is everybody always picking on me? And you know what? That's going to be your life. That is absolutely going to determine your destiny, the words of your mouth. But if you turn it around and say, you know what, I believe I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I believe God's on my side and greater is He's in me than He's in the world. I believe my God will supply my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe God's bigger in this situation. I believe I can make it. I believe I can rise up. I believe I can do better. You know what? You will do better.
Yes.
Now, we know that just practically. We know that pragmatically, to use a big word. We know that from experience. We know that's true. And the word's very plain. So I think sometimes we make so light of our words because we say so many things we don't believe. And we often kid about it and laugh about it. You know, we'll say things like, my feet are killing me. Now, I don't have a vision of my feet killing me, but really, if I don't believe that, then why am I saying that? I don't believe if you say your feet are killing you, your feet are going to kill you. I don't have a picture of them grabbing a gun, shooting yourself with your foot. I don't know. And, you know, I got so tickled, I nearly died. I know we say a lot of things we don't mean. And I'm not on a campaign to stop all that, but I think there's something we miss here is that we say so many things we don't mean that when we try to believe, we don't have any faith in what we're saying because we say all kinds of things we don't believe.
That's right. That's right.
That just almost half killed me. Well, you do that twice, you're dead.
Yeah.
But it's not a matter of just being, you know, silly that we actually believe that's going to happen. That you know that you're going to die laughing, or you're going to feet are going to kill you. It's not that. That's not the point. The point is we need to spend a little more time disciplining ourselves in what we say.
That's right.
Sometimes we jest a little too harshly. Sometimes we criticize a little too heavy, not constructively. And then we get into gossip and we get in sin. And it starts with our mouth. You know, everything starts with a word. God Himself made the whole universe, the whole world as we know it, with a word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Earth was that form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. A third verse of Genesis 1 tells us, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So we know that's how He made it, by speaking. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, the Word. And not anything that was made without the Word. Well, here we're starting a new year. I tell you one way to start out with the Word. Start out with what we're saying. What we're saying about ourselves. What we're saying about God. What we're saying about our business. What we're saying about our church. What we're saying about our marriage. What are we saying? You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, words never hurt me. That's the biggest lie I ever told. I mean, marriages break up because of words. Businesses break up because of words. They fire college coaches because of words. Hello? You bury yourself with your mouth. You know, finally you have to cash that check. You know, you've said so much and said so much, and finally you've got to cash that check. Well, what we're saying and what God is saying is, Don't be writing that check.
Yeah.
Hello, okay. Don't be saying that. Don't build those things up. Words build, 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 and before long you're in a corner. And sometimes we talk ourselves in a corner by the words of our mouth. We talk so negatively and so cynically that we can't. Our pride will not allow us to do anything but the wrong thing. When everybody's trying to help us do the right thing. Hello. And if you listen to the news and you repeat that news and you rehash that trash and you rehearse that curse, you know you're going to... Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting it. Somebody's getting it. You keep going over that stuff. You know, you're just going to build a mountain here that you cannot cross and you cannot climb. And it starts with what you say. Amen. You know, the best advice I can give you in a marriage is praise each other. Lift each other. Love each other. Talk about the good points that each other have. Tell each other you love each other. Brent and I tell each other we love each other all the time. I didn't just tell her that 36 years ago when we got married. I tell her all the time. You know, every once in a while she said, "Did you tell me you love me today?" I said, "Of course, when you fix my hair. I always do that when you fix my hair." And she has to fix my hair. I gave up a long time trying to fix my hair a long time ago because I never could get it right. I'd walk out, "Oh." Uh-oh. So I get ready and I just stand there and let her fix my hair. Kiss her and say, "I love her." Go on. You know. Even clothes. Are you kidding me? She laid this out and I put it on. The man in black. I just wear what she lays out for me because I gave up a long time ago trying to match things. And oh, no. You know, I know that look. She's got it. Listen, Charity's got it. Amanda's got it. And Jennifer's got it. They all got it. They got that look. At one time, I had all three of those girls in my house. I did everything every morning just to keep from being a nervous wreck. I mean, I didn't know what... You're not wearing that. Oh, surely, Dad, you're not... No, those shoes not going to work, you know. So I just lost all confidence in dressing. And if I look good, hey, it's her, okay? You like the jacket? You like this comment? She did it. Hallelujah. But words are important. Amen. Amen. Let me redeem the situation. Words are important. What you say matters. It does count. And God has designed the universe in such a way that you have a part to play. And that your prayers make a difference. That's why prayer is so important. Yes. That's why He told us to ask. Because you need to say it. You need to say it. You know, He confesses us as we confess Him. That's what Matthew 10 says. It says, if you confess me before men, Jesus speaking, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Wow. Christianity is the great confession. And what we say continually over and over will determine our future. That's where we really are and that's what we really believe. That's right. I can tell you that without question because the Bible is very plain that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12 chapter, Jesus talks about that. So if you're constantly talking about how you're just not going to make it and you just don't know what you're going to do and I don't know how I'm going to make it and I just can't seem to get my bills paid, I'm never going to come out of this and it's just getting worse and worse and I don't know what the world's coming to, you know what? That's your future.
Yep.
If you're constantly saying about your mate, your spouse, people listen to this in Australia, so I have to explain mate, about your spouse, your husband or your wife, you know, they're not being nice to me. They're not looking out for me. They're ignoring me. Are you with me? They just talk down to me. Blah, blah, yada, 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 yada. Then you let that build and you let that build and you let that build. And you know what turned out in love? What started in love turns out in hate. And people actually hate each other that loved each other because of words. Businesses enjoyed the job. I mean, the new broom sweeps the cleanest. You know how that goes. You get on a job and you love that job. It's the best job you ever had in your life. Never has been another job like this. You love all the people. You love the work. You love it. And then before long, you get a little critical. And then you start talking about the boss. Then you start talking about the work. And then you think it's unfair. You think you have to do too much work for less pay. And before long, you hate your job. You can be born into the greatest country on the face of this earth. Start criticizing this country. Start criticizing what this country stands for. Ooh, don't get me started. And then you start hating America. I don't know how you get there. I still believe this is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I really believe that. I know that God's got plans for Israel, and I'm praying for Israel. Stay with me. And there's a supernatural plan God has for that. But the freedoms we have in this nation, the privileges we have in this nation, the life of luxury and ease we have in this nation, the opportunities we have in this country are God-given. And we ought to be on our knees thanking God for it and not criticizing our country. Thank God for the United States of America. But you see how you go down a road and then you start hating the very country that you have all these privileges in. There are people that hate this country because of what they've said over and over and over and over and over, and it's built, and for long it doesn't even make any sense. Don't know why you hate this person so much. Don't know why you hate this job so much. Don't know why you hate this country so much. And you can't see any way of coming out of the mess you're in because you've talked the mess so long. You've rehashed the trash. You rehearsed the curse instead of reversing the curse and taking out the trash.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Proverbs 15, have you found it? These things just stir me. I believe in confessing the Word. I believe in saying the right thing. I believe in believing God. I believe in praying over the church. I believe in prophesying the future. I believe in planting seeds. And I believe what you plant, you're going to reap a harvest of. And I believe words are seeds. And the Bible preaches that. We've got to learn to love each other. That's why God hates gossip. That's why He hates criticism. That's why I hate you spreading that stuff. You ought to repent. Don't you spread stuff. You say good things about people. You lift people. Are you with me? And start praying over your job, and praying over your marriage, and praying over the church, and praying over this year. This year, it's going to be the best year we ever had.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. I believe we've got opportunities we never had. I believe we've got abilities we never had. I believe we've got maturity we've never had. We've heard more word than we ever had. I didn't start out 2009 here as much word as I have now starting out 2010. I've prayed more prayers today than I ever had before 2009. I'm a year ahead of the game. Hallelujah. Hopefully a little wiser. Proverbs 15. First verse says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Ooh, there's a mouthful. But a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright or correctly or rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You know, I was reading this one day years ago. In fact, I believe I was coming back from the Dallas Zoo with the kids. And I was meditating. I believe that's right. That's where I was, yeah. And Brenda was driving. Yeah, Brenda was driving and I was studying. That's what we do. We get to Dallas. I gave up driving to Dallas with Brenda years ago. Oh, turn here. Why'd you do that? Stop. Don't do that. Turn this way. Turn that way. So when we get to Dallas, I just give her the keys. Because this is a shopper here. Anyway. Lest I do something to my marriage here. I do a lot of studying while I'm sitting there in the passenger seat riding shotgun. And I was studying. This is years ago. I was reading this verse and it was amazing to me. Sometimes, I don't know if it is with you the way it is with me, but I can be reading something and God's trying to tell me something and I don't quite get it, but I know there's something there. And I know if I keep confessing or keep quoting the Bible or quoting the Word or pray in tongues. I pray in tongues a lot. I am baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak in that neo-Pentecostal modern day phenomena, tongues. But, haven't said that. Many times, if I'll just take the Scripture and I will quote it over and over and over and over and say it out loud over and over and over, especially when I'm missing, I feel like there's something there I'm not getting, I'm missing something. If I keep doing that, I'll get it. Because I finally give God something to work with, enough to work with. I say it enough to where He'll reveal it to me. See, the Spirit will reveal it to me. And so that was kind of what was going on here. I was reading this, a soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, King James Version says. But the mouth of the fools pours out foolishness. And I started meditating on this. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. I guess you could use knowledge wrong or you could use it right because it says the wise uses it right, so I guess a fool could use it wrong. All information is not for public consumption. A fool repeats everything they hear. Are you with me? Some of the stuff doesn't need to be said. Doesn't need to be done. Eric off in tongues. everything doesn't need to be repeated. But I was meditating. I said, well, now, how do you use, like, knowledge is a tool. That's what he's saying. How do you use knowledge? Knowledge is a tool. It's like a weapon. It's like a hammer, a tool, or like a gun, a weapon. And you know, some people are more proficient with a hammer and more proficient with a gun than others are. You know, they practice with it. So I'm thinking knowledge in that sense, and it's a weapon or a tool, and he's talking about use it. How do you use it? And then, and frankly, I was a little embarrassed when it finally came alive to me, because it was so simple and it was right there in that verse. I'd missed it and I was waiting for some deep revelation. And it, like God spoke to me out of that verse and said, the tongue uses knowledge. The tongue uses knowledge. So if you're not speaking the word, you're not using the word. If it's not in your tongue, it's unused. It's like a hammer without a hand on it, or a gun without a hand on it. A weapon's no good till you pick it up with your hand. A tool's no good till you pick it up with your hand. God's word's no good till you pick it up with your tongue. You got to pick it up. See, and what's happening is we've been loading up this shotgun, but we haven't been loading up with the right ammunition. Sure is getting quiet in here. We've been firing away. Come on. We've been hammering. We're not using the right size nails. We're firing, but we're not using the right bullets. Amen. Now, he's not saying let's fire blanks. No, you need something in that tongue. You need God's word in that tongue. And the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright or correctly. Now, a hammer, you can tear something down with a hammer, or you could build something with a hammer. You know, a weapon, you can kill with it, or, you know, you kill your enemy, or you can kill yourself. Think about how destructive a weapon can be misused. Think about how destructive a hammer can be misused. There's demolition crews and there's construction crews. People that build and people that tear down. Well, you make that choice with your tongue every day. You make the choice of whether you're going to tear down your life and the others' lives, or you're going to build up your life and others' lives. I think the greatest thing you get a hold of to start any year, to build up that year, to help that year, is to get your tongue moving in the right direction, to get the words of your mouth moving in the right direction, to say good things over yourself and over your family out of the Word and over the church. And how important it is to discipline our mouth. You know, we train our legs to walk. We train our hands and our fingers to do all kinds of things, play guitar, type, you know, drive a car, use tools, weapons, whatever. But I don't think we spend a lot of time disciplining training our tongue. And it's cost us. We've shot ourselves in the foot with our own tongue. You know, the Bible says a fool with his mouth destroys his neighbor. With his mouth. What? Yeah, with his mouth, he destroys his neighbor. And I love this. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, let not your tongue or your mouth cause your flesh to sin. In other words, you talk yourself into sin. You talk it long enough, you convince yourself of it, then you go out and do it. Wow. Now, but you know what? You can turn that thing around. You can talk yourself right into a healing too. You can talk yourself right into victory. You can talk yourself right into a good marriage. You can talk yourself right into going over, not under. You can talk yourself right into prosperity, hallelujah, to increase, to multiply, instead of to go under. No, not me, hallelujah, I'm going to make it in Jesus' name. No, sir, no, sir, God's on my side, hallelujah. And I'm trusting God, and He has never failed me, and He's not going to fail me now. He has been there in the past, and He'll be here again. He'll do it again and again and again and again. I'm going to call on Him. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to put my faith in Him. And I don't know how, and I don't know what all He's going to do, but I know He's going to bless me because He loves me and delights in my prosperity. Hallelujah. See, that's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of doom, gloom prognosticators out here, forecasters out here. But all that matters is what God says.
That's right.
Amen. And we perish. You know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Well, I think you can go a step further with the rest of the scripture in context. It's a lack of use of knowledge too.
Yeah.
We can have the knowledge and not use it. G.K. Chesterton said this. He said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting or lacking. He said, it has been found difficult and left untried.
Yes.
And so what we're talking about here is not lacking. It's just difficult. We ain't done it. But if we'll start doing this, hallelujah, if we'll start using the tongue of the wise uses knowledge, you have in your hands the kind of tools that would build a tremendous, supernatural, spectacular future for you. It's here. It's right here. But you got to pick it up.
That's right.
You got to pick it up. You have the weapons right here to defeat every onslaught, every opposition, every enemy that comes against you. It's right here. But you got to hold it. And you know what? It's a matter of aim and it's a matter of focus.
Yes.
So if you look at your mouth as a weapon and as a tool, then you'd watch where you point that thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Come on.
Woohoo!
That's good.
Are you out there? Are you going home? So what are we aiming for? What are we focusing in on? In our conversations. Do our conversations aim toward victory, reconciliation, forgiveness, love, encouragement, lifting? Or are we running a demolition crew here? Are you with me? Are we building up or are we tearing down? I mean, it's a powerful thing. In fact, while we're in Proverbs, look at Proverbs 18. Good stuff, good stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, happy day. Now, notice in Proverbs, this is just the word. We're just talking about the word, amen? Y'all believe the word, right?
Amen.
Does it mean, what we say means something? It should. Used to, a man was only good as his word. You know, of course, we live in a day now, words don't mean anything. You got to have a contract for everything. You can't shake a hand, doesn't mean anything. Guy says he'll do something, doesn't mean anything. You know, words are just worthless. And I can see how the devil has tried to demean, degrade, and tear down the power of words spoken. Because
yeah.
He knows how powerful that is when a Christian gets a hold of that and starts praying the word and confessing the word and believing what God says instead of what the world says. He knows he is in trouble. And so what he's done is just destroy our confidence in anything we say. We become so flippant. And I believe in having fun and jesting and joking and all that. But I think sometimes we're so flippant about everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. About our future, about our marriage. About, we talk about the old lady instead of the wife. Man, I never would do something like that. Are you kidding? Brent ever heard that and found out about that, I'd be, ooh, forget that. So it wasn't faith. It was just fear. That's why I did it. But no. No, I love Brenda. She's not the old lady. She's the love of my life. You know, I'm giving my life to Brenda. She's giving her life to me. I mean, we're one. You know, that just gets more solid every year. But, you know, we just get flippant about things. We just don't, we're not serious. And we're not believing. We're not trusting. And then, of course, you know, when the bad news comes, oh, man, we just buy the hook, line, and sinker and just take it because everybody's talking it. Yeah. Are you kidding? You can stop at the gas pump and talk about how everybody's going under and how this country's going down the tubes and the, are you with me? Woo! But you don't stand at the gas pump and hear a lot of people talking about believing God, standing on the Word, and found this great Scripture, and God is so good to me. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. What? I thought you eat with your mouth. Well, he's saying food comes out of your mouth. Are you out there?
Yes, sir.
I'm just pausing for effect. And it's not working. But anyway. The fruit of the mouth. In other words, food comes out of the mouth.
Sure.
What? I'm living off what's coming out of my mouth.
Amen.
Not what's coming in, but what's coming out of it. We think in terms of what we're going to eat, you know, but he's saying we're eating what we're saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Amen.
A man's belly shall be satisfied, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips, he shall be filled.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
From the produce of his lips. Like my lips are producing something. What are they producing? Well, let's look at the next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Man, so I can destroy and tear down, have a demolition crew going down here with this hammer, pick it up, use it for that. Or I can build up and have a construction crew going on and repair and restore with this hammer. It's all how I use this weapon of words. Isn't that right?
Yes, right.
I can take a gun and I can, you know, go out and kill deer. Dale can tell you about that. Nice 9-point. Can I have it mounted? And eat the deer. Yeah. Kill the deer, eat the deer. But, you know, you can take that same gun and kill somebody else with it. Depending on how you use it. I think God's Word's like that, too. I've seen people destroyed with the Word.
Yes.
Take the Word and just rip them up and destroy them. Because of misuse. Focus and aim. That's what the Pharisees did. They wanted to stone that woman. Remember, they wanted to kill that woman. How about that? Kill her with a word. They were trying to kill her with the scripture that says that she ought to be stoned because she got caught in a very act of adultery. Well, Jesus turned around and said, "That's not even what spirit I'm of. You're pointing that gun the wrong direction. You're swinging that hammer the wrong way. Are you with me?" And so here he's saying death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it lead its fruit. I think it's just a matter of choice. It's what he's saying here is that I can use this power of the tongue to bring life, and I can produce and eat off of what I'm producing, the fruit of my mouth, and it can be very, very good. Or I can take this tongue and I can destroy with it, and I can kill with it, and I can eat destruction myself by what I'm producing. But it comes down to what I say. It comes down to what I am saying about me, about my life, about my wife, about my marriage, about my church, about my business, about my country, right on down the list. Does it matter what we say? Well, according to God's Word, it matters a whole bunch. It actually determines the direction of our life. Which way are we going? Where do we go from here? Well, we're going to go in the direction of our tongue. We're going to go in the direction of our confession. We're going to go in the direction of what we are saying. And so it's imperative that we get a hold of it. You know, you ought to get up and talk good about your day. Talk good about your life, about what you're going to do this day.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. Psalm 118, 25th, 26th verse says this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The next verse says, "Send now, or save now, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now, O Lord, prosperity." That's those two verses go right together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woohoo, that'll make you want to shout. That's what we ought to be saying. We ought to be saying what God says. That'll determine the direction of our life. In fact, James says it real plainly. Turn to James. While you turn there, let's just think about this. The power of the tongue. It's almost like an either-or situation. That's what he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And what he's telling us is you can use it right, you can use it wrong. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. Or you could use it wrongly. Electricity is a perfect example. It's kind of hard to improve on that. I've used that for years. And I think I read that in a Charles Capps book years ago or heard him preach it years ago. But electricity is a wonderful thing. Electricity will turn the lights on and turns the heat on in the winter and air conditioning in the summer and keeps Michael Harrison in business. Yes, amen. It cooks food, it does all kinds of things. But electricity is kind of a neutral thing. It can be used wrong or right. It's a spiritual law, or physical law, excuse me, of electricity flowing through those wires. If you connect those wires correctly and you flip the switches and so on and so forth, you can use it for your benefit. And it'll heat your home and cook your food, and it's a blessing to everybody. And it was meant to be a blessing. It was designed for that purpose. That's why they have the substation, the power stations, and run those wires to your house and to bless you, to make your life better. But you know, you can violate the law of electricity. You can go in there and you can cut that wire and you can grab it with your hands and it will kill you.
Yes.
The same power that was meant to bless turns out to be a curse. Why? Because of misuse. Now, I believe very strongly, very fully, that God means for us to use our tongue and our words to build a life for ourselves, a life of blessing, a life of light, a life of shining His light, a life of great marriages so people can see that they can make it, a life of health and healing, and a life of victory so people get in messes, they find it, they can be healed, and they can have victory. But see, that's what it was meant for, and that's why He sent it. And that's why He gave us this power. But if you violate that law, you will kill yourself with the very thing God gave you to bless you with. This awesome power of the tongue, that you can actually pray and believe God, and you can say good things, and you can create an atmosphere, an environment of peace and harmony and joy and encouragement. Some people just come into a room and they lighten up that room. They start talking about bragging on people, and, oh, good to see you, how you, and you just feel like $1 million around them because they, with their words, have created this whole atmosphere.
Yeah.
Other people come in and just ruin.
Yeah.
Every party has to have a party pooper.
Right.
And they do it by violating the purpose, the original purpose of that law. But the law can be used good or bad. That's free will. You can choose either way you want to choose. And so the ball is in your court. It's like a checkerboard. You know what? God's already moved. Now it's your move. It's your move. And He's telling us to move by saying what He says, by praying what He says to pray. See, that's why you have to be careful what you hear, because you pick it up and you start saying it. You know, a wise man, it says the heart of a wise man studieth to answer. He thinks about what he's going to say. You flip that coin, a fool just says everything he thinks. He didn't think about what he says. He just says everything he thinks. Well, see, you need to go through some kind of security check, the thought, before you speak it. Some things are volatile, explosive, and they don't need to be loaded on your plane. Some things you hear, you need to let them in your secure area.
That's right.
Amen. Stop them.
Yeah.
Check them out. Do a full body scan. We hear a lot about that. But do that over your words. Scan them. Look at them. Check them out. Can we let that through? We're going to let that through the gate? I don't know. That doesn't look good. We're going to check this out a little longer before we let that through the gate. Y'all still love me?
Oh, yeah.
You look at me like, woo, man. Look at me like I stole your girlfriend. James, 3rd chapter. Y'all found it? I know you're just meditating on this. This is good stuff. It's to help you. Hallelujah. James, 3rd chapter. I'm trying to help your marriage. I'm trying to help your business. Trying to help your witness, your ministry, this church. And I'll tell you what, this church is built on confessing the Word, no question about it. It's built on saying we can make it, we can go there, we can do this. God's bigger than this. We may be in a small town, but we got a big God. Hallelujah. We don't have small town thinking. Amen. And there's all kinds of things we can do. We're not limited. We're unlimited. Hallelujah. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I may have been raised a certain way. I may have had this happen and that happen to me, but that doesn't determine my destiny, my future. My destiny, my future is determined by what I believe, not by what's happened to me. Hallelujah. You can come out of the mess you're in too. You can turn the thing around. You can change your destiny by changing what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Notice this. The direction of your life, 3rd chapter, James. My brethren, first verse. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. Did y'all get that? You get a hold of your lip, you get a hold of your life. You can bridle your whole body by getting a hold of your tongue, what you say. Isn't that good? I can turn my life around just by what I'm saying. I don't know why I keep doing this. I don't know why I keep doing this. I don't know why I keep... Well, quit saying that. Start saying, in the name of Jesus, I can overcome this. In the name of Jesus, I have overcome this. In the name of Jesus, I'm free of this. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to keep doing this. starts here. Well, I don't know why I can't make it. Well, because you keep saying you can't make it. Now, I believe in putting feet to your prayer. I don't think it stops with your tongue, but it starts with your tongue. No, I agree. It may not stop there, but it sure starts there. You're going to have to get up and do something. I mean, I don't think you can just believe for prosperity and not go. I saw T.D. Jakes. You might see T.D. Jakes this morning. Thought this was a real good T.D. Of course, I can't preach like T.D. My goodness. I just wish in my dreams I could. T.D. Jakes, man, he just says hello and gets me all excited. I mean, the way the anointing just comes on him, he just, wow. But he was talking about, you know, believing basically for God to bless you and prosper you. And he says, you're not doing anything. He said, you're just watching. He said, there's watchers out there and there's doers. And he said, you're just a watcher. You believe you're going to get a job and you're just sitting at the house hoping somebody's going to come knock on your door. Get up out of that bed, walk out that door and go get you a job. Woo. Yeah. That's going. Yeah. Yeah. You got to do something. You say you're waiting on God. That's what he's talking about. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. Well, he that waits on the Lord rises up with wings like an eagle. He runs and not weary. He walks and not faint. He does something.
Come on.
You know. So you believe in God, talk it. Say it. Say it. Pray it. Quit talking about going under. Quit talking about not making it. If you're believing God, at least give Him the respect and the honor.
Amen.
That's due to Him. You just prayed. You asked Him to help you. You believe He would. Don't turn around and say it's not working and it's not going to happen.
Amen.
Out of honor for God, let's say it is going to happen. I am going to make it. Whew.
That's right.
Okay, so you can turn your whole body with your tongue. Third verse says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths. Isn't that right, Jennifer? But bits in horses' mouths. Why? What's the point of that? So we can tell them where to go. So we can guide them. That's the whole point, see? We put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. See, I don't think you understood this. A lot of us don't. And I have to work on it all the time. It's a struggle with me too. But I am not my body. Sometimes I think I am. But that's when I'm deceived. This body is mine. I am in it. It should do what I tell it to do.
That's right.
Well, it just felt right. Whoa. Who's holding these reins?
Come on.
You know, I joke about horses all the time. You know, you get on a horse and leave the barn. If you don't rein it, he's going to turn around and go right back to the barn because that's where all the, you know, the food is and the comfort is. And you have to make the horse go. That's why you have the reins and you have the bit there. If you just let your body do whatever it wants to do, well, I could point people out and you can see what happens to it when you sit down at the table. You can't let it do what it wants to do. Not pointing anybody out. I'm just, you know. Hello. Okay, so he says this. Man, I got quiet when I said that for sure. He says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You want to turn your life around? You want to turn the direction of your life around? Get a hold of your tongue. Put God's word in your mouth, and you can turn your life around.
That's right.
You can turn the direction of your life. You can head another direction. Next verse, fourth verse says, look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires, or the helmsman desires. In other words, it goes where the person running the ship decides to go. It doesn't go where the storms decide it's going to go. Yes. Don't let tragedy and crisis and opposition and circumstance determine where you're going. Let what you say out of your mouth determine where you're going.
That's right.
Set your rudder.
Yes.
Put in that bit and turn the direction of your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Be careful what you say, because it's not what's happening to you that's determining where you're going. It's what you're saying and believing that determines where you're going. Well, the wind's blowing. The wind hasn't got anything to do with where you're going. It's how you got your rudder set and the direction you have it set. That determines where you're going. Ships should be tossed to and fro by the wind. They should be driven this way and that. But when the rudder's set, it just breaks right through and keeps a straight path. You need to chart your course. You need to set your destiny. You need to determine where you're going to go. And you do that with this. This is going to be the greatest year we're ever going to have.
Amen.
Ever had, not ever going to. This is going to be the greatest year we've ever had.
Yes.
Jesus tarries and we go in 2011, that'll be the greatest year we ever had. Each year it gets better and better and better because we're setting our rudder and we're holding on to these reins. We're riding this horse.
Amen.
This horse is not riding us.
That's right. That's right.
We're steering this ship. We're not just passengers. Amen?
Amen?
And he says, in light of the bit, in light of the rudder, he says in the fifth verse, even so the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. See how great a forest, a little fire kindles. Man. So my tongue is the rudder of my life. You know, we could, you know, even sing a song. You are the rudder of my life. You know, something like that. Which way are you going with this marriage of yours? I can tell you where you're going. You're going the same way your rudder's set. Where are you going with your life? Well, you're going the way your rudder, whatever your rudder is set on, that's where you're going. I can tell you that. No, Toucan Sam was wrong. You don't follow your nose. You follow your tongue. You follow your confession. You can follow what you say. I believe we're prospering in this year in Jesus' name. I believe God's will is for us to increase and multiply. I believe the ministries that we've got going are just going to we're going to have a harvest of souls and a harvest of people healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I just see a harvest of people coming into our church. I believe that we're filling up these seats and filling up this, and getting that building finished, the gymnasium finished, and the food ministry is exploding, and the missions we're supporting are just over the top. I believe this is the best year we have ever had. I am so excited about this year because I know God, His mercies are new every morning, and He just gets better and better and better, and He does things greater and greater and greater, and things grow that have life, and we got life, and we're growing. Our worship's going through the roof, hallelujah, in this church. The teaching, I'm going to preach the best preach. I'm going to preach better than I ever preached in my life.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to teach. You're going to have the best marriage you ever had. This year is just going to be phenomenal, supernatural. God's going to bless you even financially. He's going to bless. This thing's turning around. It's turning around. It's turning around. Because we're turning it around.
Amen.
We're going to use this knowledge. Put it in. Pick it up. God forbid you'd have what you need to make it and not use it. God forbid somebody break in your home and you got a gun and you don't shoot them. I'm a preacher and I said that. You need to protect your family. You need to protect your children.
That's right.
And if you have the ability to do that, do that. God forbid you wouldn't use what you have to protect your family.
Amen.
I've always said somebody breaks in my home, you know. I mean, I don't hate them. I don't love them. You know, it's not a matter of hate and love. It's a matter of I got a family. I got a wife. And, you know, goodness, I'm going to protect my family. I pray they know Jesus.
Yeah.
Not really. I do. I hope they do because I'm going to shoot them. I mean, we can sit there and say, well, that's not right. Let them come in and shoot you and shoot your wife. Are you kidding me? I mean, you have an obligation to lay down your life for your family and your friends, your country, and so on and so forth. Hello. But it would be the same principle, though. Did you know the devil's breaking in your home?
Yes. Right.
Did you know he's trying to steal your life and your kid's life? And he's trying to steal your finances and he's trying to steal your... He's rummaging through your cabinets. He's in your pantry trying to take your food. And you've got a weapon right here.
Oh, yeah. Glory.
Pick it up. How? With your mouth?
That's right. Come on. Get
out. Hello? Start standing on the word and you just blow him out of your house. You just run him off.
Man.
You can do it, see, if you'll set this rudder.
Yes, that's good. Yes, right.
If you'll get this bit, you know, where in your mouth, the bit of God's Word.
Yes.
You can do it. Amen.
Amen.